Hello and hi, and welcome to the RBR.music podcast. My name is Steve Curley, and as always, I'm joined by the creator of the RBR.music Instagram page, Jordan Murray. Hello, Jordan.
Hello.
As with each episode, in true RBR fashion, we'll be bringing you classic and new album and music documentary reviews. It's our mission to cut through the noise to discuss the sound and vision. On this episode, we're going to be discussing 2022's documentary about Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares. Over to you, Jord.
Okay, so we've chosen this documentary because of time of recording is 2023, the year, and Sinead O'Connor has sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago, months ago maybe?
July.
So, July, and we are now in August. Yep. So, I thought that I actually don't know much about Sinead O'Connor, so there's a new documentary out about her, so let's find out more about the artist. So, I'm not jumping on any bandwagon because of her death. I genuinely just wanted to learn about her, and bizarrely, there was a documentary that came out just before her death. Now I've said my piece, let's begin. Few figures in pop history have deserved a public re-evaluation as much as Sinead O'Connor. In the late 1980s and early 90s, the Irish singer, then at the height of her fame, was particularly valued by the US music industry for her courage, spirit, and of course, voice. But then as quickly as they raised her up, they pulled her down after she tore up a picture of the Pope during a performance on Saturday Night Live in protest at the Catholic Church's cover-ups of sexual abuse. Suddenly, she was treated as a laughingstock, a reoccurring punchline for cruel jokes for much of the mainstream audience she had built up in the US early in her career. She became a mere footnote in pop history. Nothing Compares, a fiery 2022 documentary by the Irish filmmaker Catherine Ferguson, attempts to correct the record, painting O'Connor not just as a magnet for controversy, but as a ferocious, determined artist and a feminist freedom fighter who provided a mainstream voice for unheard outsiders. It's a sad coincidence that Nothing Compares aired just a few days after O'Connor's untimely death at 56. Although the film focuses specifically on 1987 through to 93, roughly the period of O'Connor's rise and fall in the US, it does a remarkable job of weaving together the musician's life, art and activism, positioning her appearance on Saturday Night Live and the subsequent fallout not as one of stunt but as a considered show of defiance in a life that would be full of such incidents. Nothing Compares consists largely of archive footage, home videos and recreations of events. Although it features specifically recorded interviews with O'Connor, her friends, admirers, old associates and musicians, including Chuck D and Peaches, they appear only as overlaid audio. There are no talking heads here. This gives an energised frisson to the scenes from O'Connor's career, and a profoundly unsettling fog when the film delves into her abusive childhood, which included 18 months spent at a training centre that was previously one of Dublin's notorious church-affiliated Magdalene laundries. Although O'Connor was something of a wallflower, evidenced here by excerpts from late-night TV shows in which she barely makes eye contact with the host or audience, she was always confident in what she said publicly. Ferguson smartly zeroes in on close shots of O'Connor's ever-placid face and never flickers whether she is tackling the repressive island of her youth or the often discussed decision to keep her hair short. It is striking to see footage of O'Connor in her early 20s dressed as a choir girl, attaining pop stardom in a way that, as Peaches says, at one point was non-binary, intersectional, beyond feminist, decades before other singers began doing the same. Although Nothing Compares follows the same beats of numerous other music documentaries, Troubled Upbringing, Meteoric Rise, Devastating Fall, it feels unlike them, simply because O'Connor never participated in music industry snobbery in the same way as other musicians. During her first Grammys performance in 1989, she appeared with Public Enemy's logo painted on her head in protest at the awards' disregard of hip-hop. The following year, she faced the kind of controversy that would have defined any other artist's career after refusing to let the New Jersey Garden State Center play the U.S. national anthem before a concert. It is focus points such as these that make it galling when two-thirds of the way through the film, O'Connor's former manager, Claire Lewis, compares the singer to Billie Eilish or Amy Winehouse. Until this point, the documentary has been at pains to prove how distinct O'Connor was from any artist before or after. Ferguson devotes comparatively little time to the final moments of O'Connor's US stardom. This is the period when the singer called on artists to boycott the Grammys in protest at the music industry's greed and recorded an album of jazz standards, which was her third album, I believe, that featured liner notes in which she wrote about addiction and sexual abuse. The film's portrayal of this portion of O'Connor's career is shot through with dread and tension, and it culminates in the footage of the singer on live television dressed in white and performing on a cappella version of Bob Marley's War, tearing up a photograph of Pope John Paul II. Ferguson, to her credit, makes it clear that the moment was a victory for O'Connor, even if the singer's team saw it as completely ruining her career. "My blood ran cold," says her publicist at the time. "I said, I can't get you out of this." And she said, "I don't want you to." Elsewhere, in a post-show interview in which O'Connor is asked if she is worried about what the performance will do to her career, she merely grins. It's details such as this that are key to Nothing Compares. It portrays her as a born rebel who uses her incomparable talent as a Trojan horse to allow her to worm her way into the cultural mainstream. Ferguson treats her subject with profound empathy and never capitulates to the idea of O'Connor as a victim. Instead, the film prioritises the view O'Connor had of herself, someone simply speaking her truth, determined to speak up for victims on a global stage. Although the film wasn't intended as one, it's a worthy memorial to a fearless, bright, burning life. So that's my synopsis of the whole of Nothing Compares. I hinted before, I think it is a bit odd when they said there isn't an artist before or after. There's been none like her. And then you think of Joan Baez. You think of, I suppose, punk singers. I suppose punk singers weren't as big and popular as she was in the 80s. But yeah, you had people pushing boundaries. Janis Joplin, granted they weren't ripping up pictures of the Pope, but to say there was no one before her is a bit strong, and no one after, and then immediately, well, not immediately, but then to talk about Billie Eilish or Amy Winehouse. So what are your thoughts on this documentary, Steve?
Well, I think you've surmised it really well. It is...
That's what I'm here for.
You are. I, a bit like you, but probably even less knowledge, was not really hugely aware of Sinead O'Connor and her kind of back catalogue and full story. Obviously very aware of the famous music video, which sort of, I think, most people will know.
Nothing compares to you.
Yeah, most people know and understand the accolades that took. So I was quite intrigued. Oddly enough, when I heard she had passed away last month, I don't know about anyone else, but when you get notifications on your, you know, your news apps and stuff, and so-and-so has passed away, I was like, oh, you know, like, that's a huge shame. She's quite a young woman. I think she's 56, you said. So I think, again, not to jump on a bandwagon, but just through an intrigue, and then, unfortunately, when someone does pass away, they become a new story. I was intrigued to understand a bit more about her, and the documentary is actually a very easy watch. You feel in the first few minutes it's not going to be, but it actually, it races through its, I think it's an hour and 20 minutes.
An easy watch, especially when she's left outside in a garden for a couple of weeks.
Well, no, what I was saying is that, again, I always try and split narrative versus art of filmmaking, and the filmmaking, I think, is an easy watch, and it's
I see what you mean. So if we go back to the Kurt Cobain one we critiqued in the last podcast, yeah, that was a difficult one with all the jumping about.
Yeah.
And yeah, I understand. And the animation and the I get where you're coming
it
from.
It tells a very simple chronological story of Sinead and her kind of upbringing, her growth into who she became as an artist. And I think you nodded to it that there's a huge, what word would I use? There's the filmmaker definitely, you can see she has a warmth to Sinead, and you can see it in how she's picking this footage, because there must have been so much footage to choose from, aside from ripping photographs and certain live footage. But, you know, there's lots of imagery of a very young and beautiful and happy Sinead O'Connor, who is clearly, you know, I don't mean pin-up in the sense of, you know, a pin-up magazine figure, but a pin-up figure for humans, and particularly young women developing a voice through the 80s, which was sorely needed, particularly in Ireland, as the documentary says. And I...
But on TV, there wasn't... She's got a shaved head and all that sort of business. You look back, like we look now, and just think, well, it's not that outrageous. But I don't even think it was... Well, it obviously was outrageous, if we believe what the documentary is saying. But a shaved head is... skinheads were all about round then. Women were shaving their heads, and it just wasn't on mainstream TV. So,
I think maybe for a home Irish audience, she was probably more rebellious than, say, a West London or a, you know, East London kind of like 80s vibe.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, maybe that's what. Because if you notice the talk show, she gets. Shown on, it's an Irish presenter, he talks quite warmly about Ireland and an Irish audience, so I'm assuming she's come back home. I think her father was in the audience for the snippet that was there, so maybe that's a kind of an Irish culture thing that we're not hugely aware of. I think we all know that, you know, Irish Catholic culture was certainly a little bit more restrictive or shocked by kind of certain attitudes or behaviours and whatnot. And I think one thing's very clear, Sinead O'Connor, she did what she wanted to do. I think the thing that I take most from this, and I said this to you before, Jordan, again, splitting narrative of story and filmmaking, I think the film is worth a fairly okay score, but actually really enjoyed the narrative of her, and I would like to know a little bit more. So I feel there was a lot that we didn't get to know about Sinead O'Connor post this rise and fall, because if you look into her and you are a fan, which I'm sure there's many, many people out there who are a fan, she's done a huge body of work in the past 30 years, been involved in lots of different things, and we don't really find out anything about that. And I think maybe in hindsight, now looking back, you know, after her death, possibly there could be another film in the making, because, you know, there's lots of footage and stuff out there. But I don't feel like we got... as someone who knew nothing, really, about Sinead O'Connor, I don't feel like I still know much. I just maybe understand the youngster that was a little bit more. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I got from it. I knew she was rebellious. I knew she'd torn up the Pope picture. I don't think it digs any deeper than... It's almost like you're flipping through a magazine.
Yeah.
An easy read.
Yeah, and I suppose...
What she has done. And it's like she had that... what's it called? That... I can't remember.
I said
it before. The rapper's logo... shaved into her head.
Public Enemy,
yeah, logo shaved into her head and things like that. And I would have liked to... There's only one rapper that talks about it. I'd like to have heard more. Even the Rastafarians she hung out with, like, did she actually do a lot for the cause? The documentary says she did, but, you know, if we only got one fella saying... it was nice to see her make a stand. You would have thought more people would step up to speak.
Yeah, and I suppose, contradicting what I've just said, and I contradicted my own opinion a little bit, I suppose I'm always on a bit of a hunt of, I want to know everything as quickly as possible, thrown at me. But maybe we need to look at a documentary such as this as it's kind of a section of life, a section of story, and... maybe this type of this gets you into wanting to know a bit more about Sinead O'Connor or any artist who has a story to tell. I mean, you've been a Bob Dylan...
What made me, for this, watching this, it made me want to know what happened after her rise and fall.
I think that's what...
Because I kind of knew some of that. That's what
I think that's what, yeah. I think, does this story work as well if it's...
Newsly, the all-in-one super app for iOS and Android. How does Newsly work, I hear you ask? Well, it picks up the most trending articles on the web on topics that you choose, and at any given moment, reads them out in a natural human voice. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable and all in one place. Browse articles from topics that you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling and start listening. You can follow topics such as sport, tech, business, science, or even music. They have a podcast as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 80 countries. Our podcast, the RBR.music podcast, is there too. I've started using it as my default podcast app, and they even have digital radio. So download and start using Newsly for free from www.newsly.me in the description. And if you use the promo code, that's RBRMUS, you'll receive 1 month free premium subscription. Go and give it a go.
Freddie Mercury, probably not, because I'm not comparing the two as artists or kind of the size of their successes. I just mean, she lived in the public eye a bit in a very different time to what we know now or what has been dragged out. So I don't think there is a huge amount of Sinead O'Connor information put in front of you all the time. She's not really an artist who, bar nothing compares to you. She's not rolled out like certain other historic artists have. If that, so in a weird way, is this like a feeder into, well, if you find this interest about Sinead, then maybe you need to go and read more. Though, you know, there will be multiple biographies out there and stories of.
But it will be harder to find this, because what I got from this documentary was the music industry were too scared to use her because they didn't know what she was going to do next. So they just completely dropped her. On saying that, she has done other albums. My point being, she was saying near the end of the documentary, how poorly she was treated, how badly people treated her. And that just felt like, I don't know, a 4-minute segment, if that, of a voiceover saying how badly she was treated. And that's the nitty gritty, because it's a short documentary and it just glosses over how strong-minded and willed she was. She got rid of her first a debut album to record it all over again and things like that. And it did feel fast-paced. But I wanted more, because it was fast-paced. I felt like, well, we should have the whole life.
Do you think sometimes, though... Okay, so this is a funny thing to say, working backwards. I don't know where you watch this, Jordan, but I watched it on a Sky platform, Sky television platform now. And I would argue that most documentaries on Sky now, easy accessible, they're going to be fairly like light versions of whatever they're telling, because... You know, there's lots of other documentaries that we've watched since we were doing this sort of project and this series that we've had to hunt and hunt and hunt. And it's funny, actually, when we decided to do this...
It was aired first on Sky Documentaries and then got released on...
Yeah, so I can't imagine, like, that's not an indie documentary, is it? That's not a... We've had to go searching for documentaries that we've done in the past, like High and Low, and buy stuff from Amazon, and we...
But do you think this is just because she was in the public eye because of her death? And it's like, oh, someone's done a documentary, that's lucky, let's just slap this on Sky. Because I'm not sure if this would have made it to the so easily to be accessed if she was still alive.
I'm sorry to say. Maybe so. I think that's a really valid point. But I think if you take that viewpoint and you look at, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, a streaming producer is only going to choose films that will be successful and be streamed regularly, because that's how these new platforms work. Like a cinema in the old days, you only put films that are going to sell tickets. So I think it has all the makeup to be a hour and a half TV documentary that kind of like fires information at you really quickly. But I agree 100% with what you're saying. I actually, the woman who was talking, the Sinead O'Connor who narrates the majority of the documentary, is obviously a woman in her late 40s, 50s, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're only seeing footage and a story of a woman in her very early 20s. And I had a disconnect with that. I don't know about you.
I don't think she was sorry for any of her actions, but I think it proves that it should have digged deeper into her later life than how she was. Because she never got back to the superstardom, and she clearly was stuck in some sort of rut. Her pasts... When she was a child, sounded horrific, with abuse from every sort of adult figure. Maybe not so much a dad, but I think if the father is not standing up for her, then he's part of the problem as well.
Yeah.
But also, there's no one to say this didn't happen, that did happen. It's all very one-sided. I mean, I'm led to... I do believe Sinead's telling the truth, because, like...
It's
the history of Sinead is... She's just ridiculously truthful. She just has her heart on her sleeve. So I've got no reason to believe she's exaggerating, but it would be nice to have a bit of counter-argument to what was happening.
Yeah, and I think it's, as we've said on a few of these sort of discussions, like, propaganda at its worst or best is always propaganda. It's, there's not a criticism to that. You're being told a story, you know. It might be factual data that you're being fed, but it's how you're told it. You can manipulate anything in a certain way. I'm not saying it has been, but you can do. It's, any story can be spun by less images of that, more images of that. You know, we've talked about that before. So you have to kind of take it, and that's why I always say that when I watch these documentaries, I do split the story behind it and obviously the filmmaking. No criticism of the filmmaking. As I said, I think it's quite a simple kind of, front to end.
I don't think they dig. Going back to this, they did not dig enough into certain aspects of her life. Like, I mentioned Dublin's notorious church-affiliated Magdalene laundries. That's only because I wrote that down because that's what it says on the in the documentary. But what is notorious about them? Like, why are they so bad? And I know, like, we put her in with very ill women, I think, that were calling out for nurses and the nurses never came when she was a child. That would have been, you know, a core memory for her, a not very nice core memory. But I'd like to know more about, I understand it's about her, but more about the notorious Magdalene laundries and why, what shaped her into this feminist, rebel, outspoken, you know, activist that no one knew what to do with. I mean, why should we have done anything with her? She should have just been able to do what she did. I'm not saying we should have put her in a box or anything.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of assumption, which can happen regularly in a short documentary, that you would know what that is. You would know what the state of Ireland would have been in the
80s. It is an Irish filmmaker, so maybe she just thought the audience would know.
Well, we both have Irish family members and Irish connections on both sides of me and my partner. I know you've got your both your mother and father come from Irish families, don't they? So we have a basic understanding of it, but we don't have a kind of knowledgeable, kind of in-depth understanding. Because obviously, I think we all know that the 80s was a very, very sort of hotbed of political and cultural sort of challenge in Ireland. And I think it's part of that assumption. And we know that the church was rumoured and well discussed, that there was things going on that shouldn't have been. And I think there's all of this, like, nods too, but maybe a little bit more illustration. But then maybe that's in the art of the film. I don't know. Maybe we're wanting more than the artist was willing to give. One thing that is very clear in looking into the sort of background to Catherine's filmmaking and certainly this documentary, it was pretty well received. It won a number of awards and it was nominated at Sundance 2022. It didn't win, but it was nominated. Edinburgh International Film Festival nominated.
Now, I'm going to be an absolute arsehole here. Nothing new there, then. Do you think that's because of her untimely death, like a few days before it came out? Or after it came out, even? That people felt bad about how their profession treated her? Be it, you know, music, media, film, just treating her like crap. So then she gets all, it's like, oh, let's just nod to her and say, because she was right about so much stuff, but when she was shouting about it, marching about it, people just thought she was losing her mind. But the proof is there. She was right about so much stuff that she was rebelling against.
Are you asking about the accolade?
Yeah, sorry. The accolade she received. Do you think... Because it's nothing more, the documentary, than in fairly simply put together rise and fall of an artist. It doesn't dig any deeper than what I kind of already knew. And I didn't know that much.
I think the accolade that came before her death, though.
My question. I'll sit back down now.
No, I can see your point you said before, actually, about a kind of... there's always a media revival when, you know, an artist passes away. As sad as it is, it creates interest. And, you know, that old-fashioned saying, no news, all news is good news type sort of thing. I think that's not even old-fashioned if I'm saying it, but you know what I mean? It's when you're in the public eye, you're going to be scrutinised and celebrated equally at certain pinnacle moments of your life or death in this case. And most of the accolades and nominations, it was Sundance 2022. There's one nomination for a forthcoming award in September. Everything else was May 23 or back to 2022. So, but yes, I think you have a point that, I imagine Sky Television will definitely get more watches because, sadly, she has passed away.
But then again, it could encourage people that don't know anything about her to watch it. I mean, I thought I didn't know anything about her, but watching it, I was like, oh, actually, I pretty much know. I know a lot. I know I'm not a fan. I knew that a rise and a fall and stuff.
I think you're definitely, you sit in the camp with probably quite a lot of our listeners where you're a little bit more widely read and take a much deeper dive into kind of a lot of artists. This for anyone who knows absolutely nothing about Sinead O'Connor very, very, very little, I think it's a very enjoyable watch and educational at the same time. I can see exactly what you're saying, Jordy. If you know a bit about Sinead and you know what she went through and, you know, the kind of rise and fall, you're probably going to just watch a documentary of a story that you already know. I didn't know this story and I kind of really enjoyed it, but I suppose you could point that to any documentary. The more you know, the less interest you're going to have because you know the story.
But I didn't. The thing is, my argument is I didn't know anything. I thought I didn't know anything. And I don't think it digs deep enough into... It's a very glossy piece of work for me. It just glosses over all her trials and tribulations. And I wished it would dig deeper to the point of what her mother was like, even what her mother was like growing up or something, and why she was like what she was. It did kind of touch on, she had mental health problems, the mother. But I understand it's about Sinead O'Connor, but the background of her parents meeting would have been nice, and why they were like what they were like. Everything's just glossed over. Like the boyfriends, or the husband, I think they got married, didn't they? He doesn't really talk about what she was like when she was hyper or sad or what have you. It glosses over that as well.
I think that's why it's so important for me, and this is just my opinion, that when it comes to music documentaries or any documentaries, I can see why the critical acclaim that this documentary's had and the accolade it's received for the filmmaking could possibly be slightly more celebrated than maybe the story, because I get what you're saying. The story that's told is slightly meek. It's a little bit weaker and there's not a deep dive into it. But the filmmaking, like I said, the hour and 27 minutes or hour and 37 minutes, it did fly by, which says a lot about an entertaining piece of work. I mean, The Guardian, I think Peter Bradshaw, I think it was, He gave it 4 out of 5, and he actually said that he thought it was, what was it, the Telegraph? In Telegraph, the Guardian, one of the critics said that they compared it to the Oscar-winning Amy film. I've seen both films, and I'm not sure I fully agree with that, but I think the point was it was the kind of, I think there's a quote from like, it was a poetic film in a similar kind of delivery to that. Maybe that's just, I mean, we grew up with Amy Winehouse right when we sort of were deep in kind of, you know, kind of a continuing, you know, music youth and whatnot. So maybe we just have a connection with an Amy Winehouse story slightly more than a Sinead O'Connor story. Possibly not. But
good point.
But that's a fair accolade to come from someone. But I don't disagree with what you're saying. You know, there's the story is a little bit limited, but as someone who knew next to nothing, I took quite a lot of joy out of the story as being told, and I do think the filmmaking's very slick, it's very smooth, it moves quickly, it doesn't linger. You could linger quite a lot, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone who really enjoys Sinead O'Connor's music. Sinead O'Connor's music, in my opinion, I would say generally is sort of, she sort of falls under this 80s pop, but I would never have said she was a pop artist. I think she was more artistic and creative and individual and obviously had a different influences. They could have lost a lot of the film in that kind of music genre that she has, and they don't. They just stick to a very sort of commercial, like you said,
yep,
glossy storytelling, which I'm okay with as a piece of work, and I think it's an easy watch. Again, the story, the subject within the story is not always easy, but we all like someone who challenges, establishment, and I think the fact that the film,
that's the thing, it just seems very, very odd that for she was invited to sing on Bob Dylan's 30th anniversary concert. So Bob Dylan himself has sung about prejudice, wrongs being righted, rights being wrongs, people in prison that should be out of prison. He's done all sorts of stuff. The FBI was following him for a little while because they thought he was, wasn't quite right. He did a lot of outrageous things, Bob Dylan, and was proved to be right. And then she walks on stage on his 30th anniversary concert. Some people cheered her. It did sound like a lot of people were booing her. It was like, why are you booing an outspoken rebel, especially at a Bob Dylan concert? Because that's what Bob Dylan's all about. Free speech, the land of America, the land of the free. Free speech. Like, it seemed very odd that they weren't happy with her speaking out, and she didn't want the American national anthem. Well, she's Irish, so why would she want it played? It does seem a bit bizarre.
But I think that possibly, how do I say this? I think that might, in a weird way, help illustrate the challenge that
women
were having at that time, and obviously in Ireland, and I'd like to think that the filmmaker has chosen a kind of, you know, a section of Sinead's life and why she's telling it, because it's, you know, the film, for spoiler alert here, the film does end up on some cultural change within Ireland and abortion laws and having women. Yeah, women having their rights to their body, gay rights, and a positive movement, which I think Ireland at the time was certainly behind the rest of, well, certainly behind England,
the Western, in a lot
of places that I'm aware of. However, I think maybe that's a kind of a simile to Sinead's, people responding to Sinead's outspoken way of delivering. I say outspoken, it's not outspoken. She was doing what everyone should have been doing, or certainly she had the she was brave enough to do it and the integrity to go out and do it. And as you said before, she did it at the possible commercial loss of her own career. She clearly says later on in the documentary she doesn't care about that.
She didn't have an option, own, did she? That's the thing.
I got the tone that she almost said, well, that was my job to do. Making the music was almost like, well, that gave me the platform. And then I almost felt like she used it really well. Unlike, say, other artists who might get a platform and then don't do anything with it, or some artists who don't have a platform and try and talk too soon before they're listened to. So, but she did make change. We know she fed into a lot of change culturally. She challenged, you know, 1980s established US music and possibly lost at the time, but I think it's quite clear to see she won as an individual, and she did allow to create a change of ears listening. And I mean, I was surprised when I heard some quotes. Was it, I think Frank Sinatra said he'd slap her off stage or something like that, and I thought, oh God, like, it really did, like, affect the established US kind of which was again probably why I refer back to the film, not the story. I think we want to hear that, but again, maybe there was more to hear. Maybe we should have heard from 80s established musicians. You know, she played at that Bob Dylan concert. There's no Bob Dylan context, is there? I think Bob Dylan might have had a, you know, there might have been a line from Bob Dylan, but there was nothing from his people or his tour collective. There was, you know, it must have been pretty amazing at the time to have her walk out on stage and be booed and cheered at the same time. And then you see her face and she changes, doesn't she? She goes in this really serene,
because I think someone starts drumming or something, fantastic. She says, cut it, we're not going to play music. Is that what you're getting at? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
I think that, but you see she changes. I think she goes from, the documentary just referred to it, there are two versions of her, and one is this fighter and one is this kind of like really serene, talented musician. And she, you see her switch on the stage there and then. And I'm just thinking, if I'd been around that professionally as a musician, as an artist, that would be a story that you'd want to tell. That's like talking about, what would be a good example? But, you know, Freddie Mercury at Wembley. Like, that is kind of iconic of an entire music career, really, isn't it? Like, this and not...
Well, get this. So I've just quickly gone on to Spotify and typed in Bob Dylan 30th anniversary concert, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And she is not anywhere in the track list except right at the bottom, where is the song she was meant to be singing, I Believe in You, after, in brackets, afternoon rehearsal. So they bottled out on that one. Of adding her.
And again, is that down to the wider sort of viewpoint upon her?
They want to sell records, certainly. But then, that's the thing. It's like in 1966, Bob Dylan went electric and people were booing him and shouting Judas. That's all left in the album, on the 1966 album. I've got it.
Again, though...
So it seems a bit weird. But I suppose it's meant to be a pure celebration of his music.
You know, it's not the first nor the last time that there'll be a overriding activity that happens at a certain music performance that isn't music or isn't music, you know, isn't sort of solely music related. I think it's strange that you would dismiss it personally. And it felt a bit like that anyway. It felt, and is that another version of what happened to her for her whole career? Possibly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think one thing that's very clear, the fact that I didn't even think you and I could talk for sort of 40 minutes on this documentary, but...
Have you never met us?
Well,
we do talk. Surprised anyone listens. But you do listen, don't you? You're listening right now.
Well, hopefully...
That was just so that we are listening.
Hopefully people are listening, or a person is listening.
Yeah.
But I definitely think once you watch this and maybe talk to your, if you, depending on what age you are, we're in our late 30s, but I think you could watch it.
All right.
I think you could watch this with your mum and dad, and they'd have a better cultural understanding than we are, or we do, because it definitely is of a time, and I think in this day and age, probably will never happen again in the same way. I don't think you'll have an activist speak out the way she spoke out, in the way she spoke out.
I don't know.
No. In the way she spoke out, you're talking about such like this woman had such a limited opportunity to deliver a message.
Now we have so
many opportunities to say whatever we want all the time. Where this woman, I said, I give her massive.
There's too much noise now, really. Like,
but you don't ruin.
There's so much noise out there. Like, even not celebrities or whatever you want to call them, artists. Just some randomer, writing just nonsense on the internet.
Well, and I think that's
not to say Sinead O'Connor's stuff was nonsense.
No, and I think that's the point being is that she was given a window of opportunity. She took it to do something that other people weren't doing, and I've definitely warmed to her as a person now, and I don't think people would do that now, because I think they know they're so easily forgiven with an online noise. You know, you could be a story today, but you're gone tomorrow because of someone else has said something. Yeah. At the time, she would have been all-encompassing, kind of like drama, really, wouldn't she? It would have all been... How the heck did she do that? And she did clearly give up a commercial music career for
it. But I also think, I mean, I have absolutely no proof of this, but I think she was doing rebellious things, very counterculture, although she was a huge pop star, and it was. People were talking about her and things were going her way. So I wonder if she thought the more rebellious she is and outspoken she is, the more she'll get put out there. So when she ripped up the Pope's picture and stuff, maybe she thought, I'm going to get talked about. I genuinely don't think she thought the backlash was going to be as much as it was. But she had to ride it. And to be fair, to be honest with you, she rode it with dignity. Maybe she didn't have a chance, but she didn't kick off on interviews, and she's always wanted a debate.
Yeah, I think what I'm taking from what you're saying is, at the same time, you would have had artists in all kinds of bother through booze, drugs, sexual mishaps, cheating on partners and spouses and all kinds of behaviour. And what we're talking about is someone who almost stopped music in its tracks at the time by having an opinion on something that was very heavily involved in her upbringing and life. And it was almost like, how dare she? And then the day...
And 20-odd years later, it was proven that she was right.
Well... You beat me to it, and I'd rather you say the controversial things than me. But yeah, fundamentally, we know certain things have happened and gone on that aren't at all acceptable. And
I hope they've been addressed now. Obviously,
there's a really good bit towards the end of the film, isn't there? Where I don't know who he is, but an Irish politician and. They put their hands up and accept quite a lot of.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a speech, it's quite interesting. Only thing I would say, too little, too late, possibly, given probably all the troubles a lot of young women would have gone through at the time. But look, I don't know enough about that to have more of an opinion than just pretty shocking and pretty. Pretty sad that anyone had to go through all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, George, I suppose it's at this point of any pod we like to put the formalities on it. What star rating have you given this one?
I just think it was a bit too glossy and it felt a bit like a trailer. As in, you know, when you watch a trailer and you basically watch the movie. It just felt a bit like that. It didn't dig deep enough for me. On saying that, I do welcome the facts that this documentary has been made and shows Sinead O'Connor in a fighting, fit, rebel ways, and the fact she speaks on it, I think, is good. But I'd like to have had different opinions, different voices, and I'd like to have seen her past 93, of even if things weren't getting filmed, like you can do stuff with animation and stuff, can't you? I just wanted to know more about her whole life, but you know, we didn't get that. So that being said, 3.5 out of 5
for Nothing Compares and the part story of Sinead O'Connor. I think I agree with you. It's not my job to agree or disagree with you, but I probably enjoyed it that bit more because I knew a lot less, which is always helpful. I think it's pretty crisp documentary, and I would definitely recommend people to, if you have an interest in that era of music, and certainly a very fascinating character and someone who, you know, who did good things with her words, and again, people a little bit older than you and me, George, probably have a bit more of an association and relationship to Sinead O'Connor due to her success at that time. So, well, 3.5 out of 5. Thank you very much, Jordan. We also try and highlight any part of a documentary that we particularly enjoyed or particularly disliked. Let's start with what we disliked. I would probably jump on your bandwagon, Jordan, that there's not enough depth of story of Sinead O'Connor. How that looks, I'm not too sure, but I certainly disliked the skimming of her kind of maturer life. There's quite a lot of depth in her kind of 20s, but beyond that. So I dislike that part of the doc, well, that missing part of the documentary, which is a bit unfair thing to dislike. But what about you, George? What didn't you particularly enjoy about this one?
I didn't enjoy that. And I wanted to know more about her childhood and why she was in and out of schools. Because
right.
I think it just was said in a TV interview,
she went
in and out of 5 schools.
I forgot that.
And that was laughed about with the audience.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know why.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can presume why, but I can't say because I've got no proof.
Yeah.
You know, she's kicking back at authority for different sorts of reasons, but that's the sort of stuff I wanted to know.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I forgot that little bit of the her father's in the audience, and the Irish guy who's presenting said, "Oh, you've shaved your head, but it's growing back a little bit. But you've always caused trouble, and you were thrown out of school." You think you've always caused trouble? Like there's no, you don't understand what trouble she caused, and you are looking at a very. I mean, at that age, she looked so sweet and innocent as well. So you're like, hang on, give us a bit more juxtaposition of like what that's about. But yeah, no, I agree with you there. What did you enjoy? What would be the one highlight of the documentary for you?
I've got 2 highlights actually. The one highlight is she's in a movie about a teenage girl that gets pregnant in Ireland.
Yes.
And it's how that all gets dealt with, and an interviewer says it's a bit like your life, and she completely kicks back.
Yeah.
She's not afraid, she's not scared. She says it's nothing like my life. This is about a teenage girl that has got no safety network, no help from anybody, and she's looked down on. And then the interview goes, well, you were 20. And she goes, that's not a teenager. It is very young, but it's not a teenager. I had a boyfriend, I had a support network. And she just shoots him right down. He goes, don't try and pull a fast one on me like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good. I liked that a lot. And I also liked although it's not my go-to music by any stretch of the imagination, I liked the fact that she was standing up against the establishment to get hip-hop noticed as a genre, because she was really into reggae and things, and just because it's not my go-to music doesn't mean it shouldn't be accepted as a piece of art, you know? I mean, you know, yeah, I think when she went on the Grammys with that logo on her, shaved on her head, I thought that was very brave, and yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, I think you've actually jumped in with my favourite bit, which is your first one. I thought it was brilliant, that response to calling this, you know, middle class white man again, of which she would have been surrounded by all her life, of telling her, and I love the fact she tells him back, and I almost feel like that's a huge insight in a very small part of Sinead's life, of her kicking back and going, no. And again, maybe she was born and successful 40 years too soon, because maybe as a 20-year-old now, she'd be able to tell her story, give her views in a very different way with a lot less controversy and discussion negatively surrounding her. So yeah, I love that. I warmed her at that one bit of film, thinking, oh, I think I would have liked to have understood this woman more. And and I think, sadly, I think we probably lost an activist that, you know, would be one of the many people in the world who make the world a slightly better place. So yeah,
because she wrote to Miley Cyrus, didn't she, when she was doing that Wrecking Ball thing, saying you shouldn't bow down to these music moguls and blah blah blah. And Miley Cyrus at the time laughed it off, but I read a piece where, I mean, I'm not a Miley Cyrus fan by any stretch of the imagination, but she's actually said, you know what, Sinead O'Connor was right. And she, I mean, I'm not saying Sinead O'Connor's been right about everything, but it's a shame she got shut down so horrifically, and just so abruptly, not horrifically, so abruptly. And that's what I'd like to have learnt more about.
She's a fantastic, and I agree, because I, in the little knowledge that I've now developed for her, she's clearly a fantastic symbol and I don't know what the word would be, the start of movements that you and I are so used to now, but we're fully aware that, you know, women with a voice are still...
It came from somewhere.
Yeah. And I think understanding... We know there's roots even deeper than Sinead O'Connor in the 80s. We know that. But I think for someone in our lifetime to be criticised and so poorly treated because of her positive viewpoints that we all now sit here 30 years, 40 years on, and agree with, which I think is often the case with these sort of subjects. I think we've actually lost a pretty phenomenal person on the whole, and someone who spoke out for all the right reasons, be it she did it in a way that maybe limited her career to a fair level. But I thoroughly enjoyed that bit of the documentary, and it warmed her to me. So brilliant. I think at that point we can wrap this one up, George. I've enjoyed this one, George. It's a good one to do.
Yeah.
I hope you guys listening have enjoyed it too. Nice one, everyone, for listening. It's great to do these podcasts. We really enjoy it. Please do tell your friends about rbr.music, where you'll be able to find further content on albums, music documentaries, and general music content. We're always looking to review new things, so please put your ideas and comments towards, and we will see what we can do. Like, subscribe, and feel free to leave any comments on rbr.musicpodcast.com. or rbr.music Instagram. Cheers, guys. Thanks again.